Right. Once again, it's good to have all here this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2.
Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We can begin reading with verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. There were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we're grateful to be able to be here this morning, and we turn our hearts to this passage of Scripture, and this is a passage, of course, being read all over the world, frankly, today. I pray, Lord, that you might tell us what you would have us hear from it. Father, may we consider things more deeply sometimes than folks do, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, this is a passage that's read in tens of thousands of places and times across the world, both today and tomorrow. I understand that's true and would not change anything of it. I sure am glad Jesus Christ came into this world for me, and that's why He came. He didn't just come to provide for a living manger scene for the next 2,000 years. He came for a specific purpose, and I'm glad that He did. I would draw your attention to verse 15, and there's a phrase here that I'd like to pull out of what the shepherds said and have you considered. It's one of the great themes of the Bible throughout. It says in verse 15, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. This thing which has come to pass. Now think about that. Here are these shepherds. They know that there's been prophecies for years and years about a coming Messiah and about a king that was to rule over Israel first, and then the nations of the world beyond that. Here he said, this thing has come to pass. That phraseology, come to pass or came to pass, believe it or not, provides one of the great adhesives, continuing themes throughout the entire Bible. Some 600 plus times, something came to pass or it come to pass, that sort of thing. And it provides one of the great themes of prophecy throughout the Word of God. This was not just something that came to pass. This is not just the fact that the mailman happened to show up at a certain time like usual. That came to pass. It's not like that. This thing that came to pass was prophesied way back in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve got their new clothes. I mean, they had just put on the aprons of leaves, and the Lord prophesied and said, Listen here. One day your seed is going to smash the head of that serpent. That was before they even got new clothes. So it goes a long, long way back. This thing was foretold and foreseen by Abraham in the day that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. I can't pull it out of my head right now. He said that the Lord's going to show up one day and die for sinners, that God Himself shall show up and die for sinners. It was foretold by Jacob on his dying bed. He said, There will be the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet. A hireling prophet named Balaam, all the way back in Numbers 24, prophesied about this. He said, There will be a star, capital S star, that rises out of Judah. And on it went. In Isaiah chapter 7, Hezekiah said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. These folks truly lived in monumental times. When it said, let's go see this thing that has come to pass. It's talking about things that men had foreseen and been foretold that had been prophesied for 4,000 years. And so when they stood there on this critical juncture, this crossroads between God doing things and man doing things, God's plans versus man's plans, God's foresight for man and man's continuing down a road of damnation, these folks stood in that crosshairs. And he said, it's come to pass. It was no small deal. These folks truly lived in monumental times. There was one prophecy after another during Christ's day of today. This scripture was fulfilled in your ears. This day, this which was prophesied by Isaiah happened. This day, this day, this day. From the time that Jesus Christ was born all the way through the time that He died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and then frankly after that time, there was things that happened. There was confusion that reigned, I'll grant you that. Everybody argued about the Sabbath days, and everybody argued about whether He should heal on the Sabbath day and whether or not we should dress a certain way. They even got on Him one time because He didn't have His disciples wash their hands before they ate a meal. And so there was confusion that reigned, and there was uncertainty. There were people questioning, how could this man be the Messiah coming from where He came from? And we don't even know fully about how His mother and father got together and all those things. Yes, there were complications, but I wanted you to see that during the days that these shepherds stood in that field that night, it was 0 hour. Now, in military terms, that means that that's the time that an operation goes off. That's the time when all the guys jump out of the back of the C-130. That's 0 hour. The clock's counted down. It's time to go, 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 go. I want you to understand that, that prophecy is like that. The Bible's like that. The times that you live in are like that. There came an hour where finally all those promises that had been laid down for 4,000 years came to pass. It was 0 hour. And that night, those shepherds stood and they listened to those angels sing, and what that angel told them, they said, let's go find it. Let's go see what's come to pass. And so I'd like to talk to you tonight, or this morning rather, about 0 hour. And during 0 hour, there is confusion. These folks were confused about all that happened during Christ's day. Yes, there was certain elements of uncertainty, certain elements of ignorance. There were complications. There was politics. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all the argumentation and all that. And yeah, there was the power of self-interest still there, but their Messiah, the King of Israel, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, came that day and was born of a woman, born of a virgin, conceived by a virgin. He came into this world to save sinners. It was 0 hours, and having heard about it, having had it prophesied to them for 4,000 years, the men of that day, the vast majority, missed it. Not only did they reject their Messiah, they killed Him. Not only did they turn Him down, they tortured Him and killed Him. And when He rose again, they still didn't get it. It was 0 hour, and they missed it. And we're able to look back and see their mistakes. We're able to look back and see their failures and their errors. And so I want to preach to you this morning on 0 hour. Today is the day, even though Christ was not biblically born at this time of year, sorry to tell you that, this is the day that men celebrate the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. We can jump right aboard that because I'm happy He came. And all those things, but I hope you'll just consider a little more deeply than maybe what you've been accustomed to looking into. First of all, with regard to 0 hour, I would point out the first thing. I'd like you to just take note of the rest of the story. Now, I'm not trying to be too Paul Harvey-esque here, but the other shoe still has to drop. There is the rest of the story. We look back in history kind of over our left shoulders, and we see Christ, of course, born and crucified and buried and resurrected and all those things. But our focus tends to be backwards. You notice this time of year all of the living manger scenes and all those things. folks celebrating the coming of Christ, which I'm thankful for. I would remind you that sometimes folks get stuck in the past. You can go to plenty of places in this town where Christ on the cross is still crucified on the cross, which is totally inaccurate. Your Savior is not on the cross anymore. Your Savior was pulled off the cross dead, buried, and then raised Himself from the dead and went back to heaven. Yeah, the tendency is to look backwards in time, and sometimes that's a terrible mistake. These people, at this day and hour, at this critical prophetic crossroads where God actually showed up and did what He said He was going to do, they missed it. They missed it. For 4,000 years, they had looked back. They had looked upon the fallenness of their race. They remembered the story of Adam and Eve, the story of Noah, the story of Moses, the story of the leading of their people out of Egypt and all those things, the wandering in the wilderness. They knew all those things. They knew judgment was coming. They knew the Messiah was coming. And they still missed it. It came upon them, and they still missed it. And so it is. Now we look back 2,000 years back. They looked back 4,000 years. We look back 2,000 years. And we see the Jews' failures. We see how they just missed the fact that Christ was all that He said He was. They overlooked all the miracles, and they overlooked all the things that He did. And even when He died and rose from the dead, they missed the opportunity with that. And sometimes, although we're saved if you're born again, there are plenty of folks that know the story and have never taken it unto themselves. They stand at their own personal critical crossroads because they've never been redeemed. They've never been converted. They've never known Jesus Christ as their Savior. They only know Him as a religious personage. They know it as a historical fact. But there are still folks that, you know, we sit here in this room this morning, many of us, most of us probably, born again, knowing we're going to heaven when we die and having a Savior. And I'm glad for that. But you still kind of tend to look backwards. Did you ever notice in the Bible that all the things foretold, so few people were ever ready for it? Whether it was Noah, whether it was Moses, whether it was Abraham, whether it was the coming of the Messiah, it seems like at every critical juncture, mankind seems to fall asleep. Now, I just wanted to say that there's the rest of the story is that the countdown for us didn't stop when Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The count goes on because the Bible says that I'm coming back to get you out of this mess. Behold, I come quickly, He says. Jesus Christ is coming again. There's still a will of God in this hour, this day, to be fulfilled. We stand at a critical juncture. We stand critically at the waypoints of the first coming of Christ versus the second. We get too preoccupied with what happened in the past, we might just miss the coming of it. I just want you to know that you're living in zero hour. I'll say a little bit more about it in just a second, but the rapture's coming. There are prophetic times upon us. These are the latter days. These are the latter times. Everything points to it from the Scripture to everywhere else. Did you know that in the Word of God, God allows for 7 days? We have a 7-day week, and the seventh day is a day of rest. Is that right? Or was originally intended to be. Did you know that God laid time out that way as well? Did you know that there were 4,000 years of the Old Testament? Did you know that now 2,000 years have passed in the New Testament? And did you know that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day? And did you know that the 7,000 years is the Lord's day of rest? It's the millennium. Well, if there's 4,000 years of the Old Testament we can account for, and we can, and there's 2,000 years of the New Testament which we can account for, and we can, that means that 6 days has gone, which means the seventh day is upon us. You live at zero hour. The Christ of the Bible, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God has already come, but He's coming back. Are you ready? Because they weren't ready. They weren't ready. Are you ready? And I asked you, I pointed out to you the rest of the story. Let me also point out to you the signs of the times. Remember, the Jews of that hour, the Jews of that day, they lived by signs. They had their signs. They knew about a virgin conception. They knew that he would come and be born of a virgin. They saw the star in the east. They heard the angelic choir. They saw the forerunner, John the Baptist, rise. They saw the miracles of Christ. They knew about the sign of the prophet Jonas. And they still missed it. They still missed his coming. They missed their Messiah. They killed their Messiah. Now, I'm glad to be benefited by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I really am. But we're not done yet. Jesus Christ has yet to come and be crowned as king. Jesus Christ has yet to come and take a bride out. Jesus Christ has yet to be married at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has yet to instigate the times of the great tribulation. There has not been a millennium. There has not been an eternity yet. I'm just saying that we still live in those critical times, that 0 hours. I'd point out to you the signs of the times. Daniel 12 says that knowledge shall be increased. We could go on for hours and hours about how much knowledge we have today, how much stuff has increased. I'm reading a book on the Nazi scientists, not just the doctors in the camps, but I'm talking about the Nazi scientists. And physics took humongous leaps over a period of about 10 years prior, between World War I and World War II. It was amazing that the amount of information that men came to understand, some we think is false, but whatever is the case, there's this humongous opening of knowledge being increased. That's still the case today. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. How many here have said, man, this country is going to hell in a handbasket? Bible says in that same passage, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're following the course of Scripture. It's happening at this time. Now, Christ is coming back any time, and you'll know it when He does, but we're living in that critical 0 hour. We live in prophetic times. It says in 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We see stuff like that going on. 2 Thessalonians says that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Zechariah chapter 12 says Jerusalem shall be a burdensome stone to all that take up with her. Is that ever the case? Is there any singular news item that's more commonly spoken of than the controversy in Israel, the controversy over Jerusalem? Just at this hour, President Trump has just made Jerusalem once again, recognized rather, Jerusalem once again as the capital of Israel, which is right. And to this hour, folks are just having a hemorrhage about it. I'm telling you, you live in prophetic times. You live in this hour. Matthew chapter 24 says that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and on down the line. Maybe even the most disorienting and disheartening one is the fact of what the Bible says about Laodicea. This last era of the church age. It's coming to pass before your very eyes, the signs of the times. Now, I know, signs can be kind of iffy. But, brethren, a calendar is not iffy. I just told you a little while ago, the Lord's prophetic calendar is laid out over 7 days. That's 7,000 years. 4,000 years of the Old Testament is gone. 2,000 years of the New Testament is gone. There's a 1,000-year millennium left. We're somewhere in that seam between 6 and 7, or at the end of 6 and going into 7. You can't argue with a calendar. Today's Sunday. Anybody care to argue? Say, well, it's not Sunday in China. Well, whatever. It's Sunday here. Can't argue with a calendar. You can argue about what a sign means. I grant you that. But the signs of the times, I'd call your attention not only to the rest of the story, but the signs of the times. And I'd call your attention to the sleep of the majority. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. those shepherds said, "Let us go and see this thing that has come to pass." And what had come to pass was that a virgin had conceived and born a son. His name was called Emmanuel. He was God with us. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was the long prophesied Messiah of Israel, the King of Israel, and eventually to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it happened that night that those men stood and heard those angels sing. He said, "Let's go see this thing that's come to pass." Well, folks, there's a lot that's come to pass. I'm glad to have made the best of Christ's first coming to die for my sins. I've taken advantage of that. I'm saved. I'm as saved today as I will ever be saved. With the day that He raptures me out of here and the day that I go to heaven, I will be no more saved than I am today. I'll have exchanged my body for something better, but I'll be still just as saved today as I will be then. But I will just say to you that there's still the other shoe to drop, because Jesus Christ is coming again. There's still a great tribulation. There's still a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's still a marriage, in fact. There's still a millennium. You live in 0 hour. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will, and it would help if I'm there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and notice verse 2. "For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night." I wanted you to notice that the majority of the folks in this world are very much asleep. They just are. The folks in the day of those shepherds that they stood out and heard those angels sing, most folks were asleep. They were confused. They were disoriented. The devil saw to that. They were confused by all manner of things. There was all manners of religious controversies. The Sadducees didn't agree with the scribes. The scribes didn't agree with the Pharisees. And the Herodians didn't agree with anybody. There was all sorts of controversy. There was all sorts of things going on. The majority, for the most part, was asleep. And so they missed their Messiah. They lived at that critical juncture, that crosshairs in God's scope, where everything came together, and they still missed it. They still missed it. Well, I just want to say, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be caught unawares. I don't want to be caught asleep. I don't know about you. Romans 13 says it's high time to wake out of sleep, for your salvation is much nearer than you thought. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because as I said this morning in Sunday school, there's a hell that burns hot. And without salvation, you'll go there. But I just want you to know that if you are saved, the Lord's not done with you yet. We still have things to look forward to. And I'm just saying this morning, you've got to be careful about falling asleep. They cried, "Crucify Him." That was the majority. The majority of people in America are asleep. You know one of the outstanding attributes of somebody that's asleep? They're cranky when they wake up. They don't want to be awakened. Somebody's standing up here on a Christmas Eve morning. Lord help us, that guy taught about hell in Sunday school. Lord help us, that guy's already mentioned hell in his Christmas message. He's talking about the second coming, not the first. What's wrong with that? Folks that are asleep don't like to be waked up. I'm asking you, are you asleep? Have you lost track of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back? Have you lost track of the fact that He promised to come back and take out His bride and get her out of here before hell on earth falls? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Have you missed the fact that maybe you're not even saved? You know, those Pharisees were asleep. They were the Bible experts. They were the most conservative branch of Judaism, and they missed it. The scribes were the basic Bible scholars and lawyers of the day, and they missed it. If anybody knew it, it should have been them. The Sadducees missed it. The Herodians missed it. Everybody missed it. The high priest, which was a foretype of Jesus Christ, missed it. He was asleep. They were all asleep. And because they were all asleep, they killed their Messiah. You know, folks tend to herd together. I believe that the Lord made us, He calls us sheep for a reason. Those of us that are saved, a sheep is a herd animal. I think men by nature are kind of herd animals. So they tend to clump together. And so you have fads and fashions that run through this world and everybody just glams onto it. Let the skirt length change, ladies, and everybody goes out and buys a different skirt length even though they have a perfectly fine skirt. Right? I don't understand guys that have to change clothes all the time, but whatever. Some guys do. But you let a fad or a fashion change, everybody has to do that. Let some new thing come out. One day, believe it or not, young folks, and sometime in the past, Facebook was a brand new thing. And Twitter was a brand new thing. And I still don't understand any of it. But whatever's the case, there was a day that it was a brand new thing. And now, look at it. Everybody is on it. Everybody's on it like flies, like white on rice. Everybody's on it. I just want to say, it's 0 hours. And the majority's asleep. Those folks whose majority opinion you're following, if you're all concerned about politics and all the things that are going on, and you live for the news for the next day, and you just can't help but wonder, well, are the Vikings going to play in their own Super Bowl? I just don't know. I just can't wait to find out. The issue is that it doesn't matter. The issue is that there's other things that matter. You see, the majority is asleep. The Vikings fans, I don't know how it was that entire crowd in Green Bay last night was asleep in 5 below weather. But just about that whole crowd was utterly asleep. I'm not talking about for the game. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about where they stood at that hour and that cross point of God's prophetic times. The majority's asleep. The sleep of the majority. I wish I could count, because I like him in some ways. Don't throw any tomatoes this morning. This suit's just been cleaned. I like him in some ways. President Trump reflects some things that I appreciate. I wish I could count on him to not be asleep. But I can't count on him. I wish I could count on the press and the media and the religious leadership of our day to not be asleep. But I can't count on it. The sleep of the majority. You live at 0 hours. You live in times just 2,000 years later, parallel with where those Jews were the first time Jesus Christ came. And they killed their own Messiah. Now, I know you're not going to kill him. But what if you're not ready when he comes back? What if you've not lived these last years, the last remaining years, if there's that much time, of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? You will have been asleep. And among other things, lazy and indiscreet and imprudent and all those things, but you would have been asleep. Jesus Christ is coming again. And there can't be many more days left. The Lord revealed the plan. He didn't tell us exactly what moment and exactly what hour. He doesn't tell us exactly what hour it is. But He does give us enough to know that on the calendar, any hour is the hour. Are you asleep? The Jews of that day were. Let me turn your attention to the next thing. Let me turn your attention to the issues of our day. You know, in that day, those folks argued and combated and contended and disputed about a little bit of everything. The Pharisees were known for tithing on their own anise and cumin, just little, very fine, small amounts of this. They were very exacting in certain things. They were gnat strainers. They would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They disputed about things that shouldn't have been disputed about. Again, Christ healing on the Sabbath, Christ letting His disciples go into a field of corn and eat the corn on the Sabbath. They just had a fit because He didn't have them wash their hands before they ate. Just had a fit. It was a terrible issue. I don't know if you've noticed, but men today have issues. some of the things that we look back at those folks arguing about, we go, that was stupid. Well, yeah. Imagine arguing with the Son of God, the Messiah, about Him allowing His disciples to walk into a field of corn, peel off an ear, and eat it. What's a big deal? Really? I don't think so. You say, well, I was stupid. Well, yeah, I was stupid. You think folks today aren't too stupid? You think folks preoccupied with the minutiae of the hour? I mean, what's going on in Hollywood and the Vikings? Just breathless, waiting the next shoe to drop. What's going to happen? Think of all the things. My Facebook posting. How many friends do I have? You don't have any. You don't have any. If you're counting a Facebook friend, you don't have any. You know what you'd be? You know what the men of his day were shocked about? They were shocked to learn that all of the issues that troubled them and all the things they argued and disputed about all boiled down to nothing. The issue in their day was the same as the issue today. Sin and the Scriptures. You're a sinner, and the Scriptures say this. And so over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ pointed them to the Scriptures, 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 to the Scriptures. I just want you to know the issues of our day are your sins if you're unsaved and the Scriptures. That's all it is. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If you'll receive Him, He'll wash you in the blood and give you a home in heaven. And if you make your nasty mother-in-law the issue, that's not the issue. Not for you. If you're lost, the issue for you is your sin. For those of us that are saved, the issue is what the Scriptures say. I'd like to say next, I'd point out to you the responsibility of a sinner. Look in your Bible in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 real fast. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This is one of the first times Jesus Christ ever addressed the men of His day. That baby showed up in that manger that night in swaddling clothes. And he was the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. Then the camera moves off of him for the next several years. We get a brief glimpse of him when he's about 12 years old, going to the temple, and then the camera goes back off of him again. We don't really know anything about him too much as far as details are concerned in his life from the time that he was a baby till all really until he was a man, till he turned 30 years old, and then we see him. But one of the first things that he says coming out as a minister to Israel, notice Mark chapter 5. I said Mark, didn't I? I'm sorry. It's Matthew chapter 4. My apologies. If you're not a visitor here at our church, this happens all the time because I am one of those guys that cannot do two things at once. But I try all the time. Matthew chapter 4. I'm sorry. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Notice for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, boys, it's zero hour. Repent. Get right. You better agree with me. You better change your mind. Because the scope has moved and the crosshairs are now on you. It's zero hour, right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, here we are 2,000 years after the fact. Jesus Christ didn't just die for you. He bore your sins in His own body on the tree. He took the sins that you have sinned before you sinned them, took them and bore the reproach and the agony of them and the wrath of God before you ever committed them. That was for you. Those sins killed Him. He laid down in a grave, went and dumped those sins off in hell, and rose again. And He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. You don't need a pill. You need Jesus Christ. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there without him. He's the only way in. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not going if you don't know him personally. You say, I'm a good Lutheran. Don't care. Nor does he. That does not get you in. You need a Savior. You don't need a religion. You don't need a series of religious hoops that you jump through. You need a Savior that you believe in, that you know that saved you because he promised to save you. And so you've acquired his work for you by faith. It's for you. You've signed the agreement. You're aboard. He's your Savior by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The responsibility of a sinner is to repent. You know what repent means? It means to change your mind. You say, I've been a Catholic my whole life. And so my mama was a Catholic, my daddy was a Catholic, and my great-grandpappy was a Catholic priest. So I've been a Catholic. You need to change your mind. You say, well, I've been a Baptist. You need to change your mind too. And this is a Baptist church. Because being a Baptist won't get you to heaven. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. I want to mention to you the opportunity of the saints. You say, well, all this talk about these being the final times and all those things, what is, why does it even matter? Is it just about us being right and everybody else being wrong? No, that's not what it's about. Actually, what it's about is what John the Baptist said. He said, I'm here to make a people prepared for the Lord. The church is mainly full here this morning, with saved people. I know most of you well. There are visitors here, and so I'm grateful for you being here. But I know for a fact that most of the folks here in this church this morning are saved people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. One of the things that's offered you as an opportunity, being in these crosshairs of this that has come to pass, is that you get to be a people because you're forewarned, made ready, and prepared for the Lord when He comes again. That's the next step. He's coming back. Are you ready? Have you lived worthy of Him? Have you stayed before Him? Have you grown? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you praying? Are you trying to live right? Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Because He's coming. For these folks, it was 0 hours. It had been foretold for thousands of years. And somehow, it slipped upon them, and all the controversy of the day passed, and it went right past them, and most of them died and went to hell. Now, thank God that those of us that are saved are not going to die and go to hell. But I'll tell you this. You live in exact parallel with those folks in that day, because just as Christ was coming the first time for them, Christ is imminently coming back for you. If you're saved, He's coming back for you. If you're not saved, you're going to die one day. It won't be that far in the future. You say, well, it's 50 years out yet still. Well, you don't know that. But if it is 50 years out, what does that matter for eternity? Was it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We studied about a rich man in hell this morning that died and went to hell, and there was nothing that he could exchange to get the one that he talked to let him out and to give him even any relief. There is no relief once it's done. Ladies and gentlemen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you are saved, get ready. He's coming again. You need to be a people prepared for the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray.